Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the isolated writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals from the comfort of their own homes write an entire screenplay, page by page, week by week, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong. How's it going, boys?
Oh, you know.
I'm a sleepy boy.
Matt's a sleepy boy. About. That's what he was saying before.
So, Matt,
we...
you were saying that you were falling asleep a lot. What's happening, bud?
I've just been sleeping, and I've been sleeping good. I've been going to bed when Ashley goes to bed, you know, since we kind of have to, since we're quarantined now. But I've been sleeping a lot. I've just been finding myself having very little energy. I've heard that's a common, especially people with like anxiety and stuff, is a kind of a way to deal with this sort of stress right now. It's a reaction of your lack of a fight and flight response, since you can't really do anything, that your body can kind of just like shut down. So I'm trying to find a way to convert that energy into like a, I don't know, jogging or something.
Hey,
but
Matt, let's sneak onto a golf course.
No.
What do you mean? Sorry, what do you mean? No, sorry, what do you mean? Why not?
They're closed, motherfucker.
No.
Oh, they should shut down now.
Yeah, so that's fine. That's even better. No one will be there, and I'll repair all my ball marks because I can't hit the green anyway.
Freddie, here's what we could do. We could go to a football field, and we each are on either end of the football field.
Oh, and chip at each other.
We could put like two like big like laundry baskets on either end, and we could just chip at each other.
100 yards, that's a 56 degree with a full hit.
Yeah, and that's like...
Chip, hooray.
Yeah, we just scream at each other, just two maniacs screaming across a football field.
Cops got better things to deal with.
Here's a 90s kid question for you guys. Was I the only third grader in the continental United States who went hard in the paint for MS Golf on the Windows 95 computer?
MS Golf. I've never
I don't remember that.
We had a golf game, and it had like kind of like one of those FMV kind of qualities to it, but it was like, I got so into this golf game on the computer for a long time when I was like a little kid, and it was definitely like an old man office game. Like, I played a lot of that in Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Oh, know what? I know this game you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, man.
Oh, dude, this interface, I remember. Remember this, that gray and blue interface. It's like the same interface.
I've never seen this game
before. Yeah, I definitely had this on like the same computer I tried to run TIE Fighter on, had this game.
Yep. This was like if you had a Gateway computer in the 1990s, odds are you had Microsoft Golf on it.
I remember that game.
If I could go back in time, I would make a Street Fighter equivalent where your main guy is like a Muay Thai thing, and I'd call it TIE Fighter.
That's pretty good, Freddie. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good. What do you guys think is going to happen to Joe Exotic and all those other
I haven't watched it yet.
Now.
I don't want to talk about it.
Let's talk about our movie.
Let's talk about our movie.
Little ditty called Heaven Heist. Will, where are we?
So the movie's called Heaven Heist. It's about a crew of criminals who have just finished robbing or attempting to rob the celestial vault of heaven. I got to clear about something real quick, which is just that I'm so embarrassed that I fucked up like the scene when I wrote it after our podcast, and I forgot that they dropped before the bank and after the bank. I know that this is a goofy movie that makes no sense, but it does feel like this is like the most clutch scene in the movie, and I started it in a way that makes no fucking sense for the movie we had written up to it. So on behalf of us, I apologize to our listeners.
That's a very minor point and an easy thing to iron out.
On behalf of me, I don't apologize for anything.
Yeah.
This is free entertainment coming to your ear holes. You're going to take it, warts and all, baby.
You know what you're never going to see on the news? You're never going to see the headline saying Freddie Wong apologizes for blank.
You'll never see me apologize.
Take that how you want it.
Great. Great, wonderful. Got a lot to look forward to there.
Well, you know, fellas, in terms of this screenplay, we kind of figured out this upcoming scene here last week.
Yeah.
Sort of. So
this
is my understanding. Yes. My understanding is what...
But Matt, before we dive in, let's just bring the audience up to speed. So where we last left our crew, they had just pulled off the heist of the century. They got all the money to the miracle portal. And right when they were about to dump it all in, Freddie, Jin's brother, prays for Kyle, his brother's salvation, instead of for his own prosperity. And thus, when they try to dump the gold, it doesn't work. And then the traffic cop busts out of the wheelie cooler and pulls the alarm. And now they're kind of surrounded. And this is a sort of desperate flea from the authorities that is going to result in them going to hell somehow.
Yes.
So, Matt, I know you have a lot of thoughts on this.
I think, like Freddie, I re-listened to it just now because I was redubbing it. We more or less know that this is going to be some sort of chase and that you're cross-cutting with Miss Wonderful watching Whiskey and they're going to kill Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
The big question that we didn't come up with is, I think, the next thing to figure out, which is exactly what is their journey into hell? Why do they go to hell? Again, the kind of the two most obvious possibilities, but, you know, there's probably more than that, are that in their attempt to find a way out of here with Whiskey being caught, because that would be the next complication, is that Whiskey's dead. Their way of getting out of heaven is to go through hell, or another way is they get caught and are sent to hell. And those both are definitely big differences, and there's probably even other ways to deal with the journey into hell.
I will say this. I am a big fan of them getting caught and sent to hell. Just in terms of not even regarding the plot, but in terms of emotionally, like, Jin has been one step ahead of the consequences of his actions for so long that I feel like that's a more interesting turn than just they come up with another clever thing to do to try to stay one step ahead of the law. Especially because, like, one of the early ideas we had was that his hell is this hell of utter loneliness and isolation, right? Like, that his whole life he's wanted to just kind of be alone and be, you know, like, be self-reliant, and then he's going to get trapped in this hell where he is alone, right? And it was just intuitively, I feel like we're hurtling towards a scene where they get dragged in front of Yama, who casts his judgment on them, and they have to pay the price for what they've done. Now, how they then get out of that, or where that goes, again, I think in an early version, we were even talking about that they're like, the only way to escape hell is they have to just do the work and burn off their excess karma and get reincarnated. To me, that feels like a more interesting turn than just like, well, wait, if we go to hell, we can stay one step ahead of everybody.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on it. I guess the problem I have with that, or not even the problem, just like, I get the reasoning behind this consequence. The tough part about it is that it feels like they're still in their heist. It does just feel like a big restart in a way that is really difficult to get out of. Like, I start looking to the future, and then it becomes like another thing just to get out of a problem. And like, in terms of like a judgment, again, I think there's a reason why in the break that we always had, it does feel like a self-defeating descent into hell was always kind of like the interesting thing. Like, in their desperation to get the money out of here, they are literally willing to journey to hell to get it. And the consequence is Jin's going to get to his hell of loneliness or whatever it is, because he's going to put others ahead of himself, rather than like he goes to hell, sees how bad hell is, and then changes as a person and then escapes hell to get the money out of there. It's like, as he hangs on to this money and as they journey deeper and deeper in the final moments, he ultimately makes the right decision. And the consequence is he's going to stay in hell. You know, then you have this nice turn in the end where it's like he's ultimately, you know, redeemed or whatever.
I see what you mean.
I don't really have the answer for it. Just like, they definitely both caused me a little bit of a pause because, like, don't quite know exactly how that one works. But in terms of the getting caught, I definitely feel a little bit of a pause because I'm just like,
I will say this, which is that I am fully comfortable and committed with the idea that the next 10 to 15 pages of this movie are going to get weird and metaphysical and surreal and like Terrence Malick as fuck. Like, I feel like it is time for this movie to shed its skin, to, you know, change chameleon like once more into a very different type of movie. And I feel like when we get to hell, shit's got to get weird, right? And like, it is going to be a very spiritual, like, I don't know that it continues the kind of same madcap zaniness that we've had thus far.
What if their choice, and like the kind of the fugitive on the waterfall sort of choice, is like, if they get caught by the angels, they're not technically dead yet. Whiskey is. Whiskey will be dead. But, you know, they're in their comas. Like, heaven's going to send them back to the world with no money and being like, you know, good luck. Like, hopefully you find a way to redeem your life before you die, is like what happens when they get caught. Because I'm trying to think, if the angels caught them, what would they do? And you could say they send them to hell, but there's also a world where it's like they're up there in a coma. It's like you're sentenced out of heaven or whatever it is. Like, the last thing they're going to do is fucking head back to the world of the living empty-handed, right? That would be a reasonable thing to expect, that, you know, they're just going to cut their losses. They lost Whiskey, and they're probably going to, you know, have to deal with Miss Wonderful or going to prison themselves or whatever. But rather than do that, they're willing to literally send their souls into hell for an attempt to come out of here with their money or something.
Are you saying that that presents as a choice that they can make, or is that out of their hands?
It's out of their hands as to what they're going to do if they stay there. But like, again, if this was literally the angels pulled an angel gun on them as they're about to dive into the abyss, and they're like, look, buddy, just come with us. We're going to send you back to the world of the living. You're going to put away the money, and, you know, fucking, you got, you know, 20 to 40 years to make your life better before you come back here. I'd never want to see
you. My only thing is, my first reaction to that just feels like it's such a half measure.
It does seem a little slippery.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm like, well, no, they don't have 20 years because they're just going to come back to life and then Miss Wonderful's going to kill them. So, like, I see what you're after, but that does seem a little complicated and a little fiddly. Because I think what you said that I really latch onto is that image of the fugitive when he jumps over the edge, the I didn't kill my wife, I don't care scene.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, like, they do a similar thing in Inside Out where they're like, don't fall over, you'll wind up in like the kind of forgotten realm or whatever. What happens to someone if they just jump over the edge of heaven? Do they wind up in hell, or do they wind up in like in limbo? Do they wind up in purgatory before they go to hell? I do kind of like this idea that if they just run off the edge with all of their money, right?
Yeah.
And now they've escaped heaven, but they're trapped in, you know, limbo essentially. And they have no idea what the hell they're going to do. But then maybe they see flames in the distance, and maybe some other dumbass who fell down here is like, you know, like another crook who tried to pull this job or whatever, is like, you know, like the only other way to send money is to burn it in the fires of hell. Then maybe that gives them their quest.
I see what you're saying, because Heat does kind of a similar thing, because after the main heist, right, Tom Sizemore I think gets lit up, but Al Pacino doesn't arrest and throw, you know, De Niro in jail. It's just an escalation of the chase. Do you know what I mean? Like, now they're underground and they're on the run and everyone's separated. I think that might work, because then it's not that they get caught by the angels and it's like, oh, now they have to suffer for their sins. It's they narrowly escape through a last-ditch effort to hell. So now they're even in hotter water, but it's not like they're facing eternal judgment. They still have a shot of getting away with it.
The idea of limbo is very fascinating. Mm-hmm. But the idea of, yes, rather than this, you know, given choice, like, yes, the idea that with Whiskey dead and showing up or whatever, their last-ditch effort is they just, like, drive off the pier. And this surreal image of them just like appearing in like complete white, and there's just like people wandering, and this is just everybody who's in limbo, who's in either heaven or hell, and they're just all there with a bunch of gold and nowhere to go, is really fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's definitely like a shocking sort of turn.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if like the moment that they have, I wonder if this is a way you can bring in the idea of reincarnation, where maybe the choice in limbo is they're wandering through this endless, you know, white landscape or, you know, nothingness. Like, why are people here? Like, limbo is obviously, there is some way to get out, right? It is your endless limbo before something. So is there, like, if you can remove all of your weight of your past life, like, you can enter this door and become reincarnated and leave. Or there's also the passage into judgment or whatever, which, of course, for them is guaranteed to send them to hell.
Right.
Because then you have the idea. It's like, obviously, they don't want to fucking maybe one of them does or whatever. Maybe you have that argument. Maybe Whiskey does, because Whiskey's actually dead. Whiskey's the one person here who's like, you guys are probably still in a coma upstairs. Like, I'm dead. Like, I'm actually dead, guys.
Hmm.
But you could have that moment where it's like, are they going to just give up everything and just start over in the world and not be themselves anymore or whatever it is? Or are they going to keep going and, you know, risk their internal soul in order to get this fucking money?
These are all things to chew on. I just want to point out that, again, isn't the thrust of this scene ending with, oh shit, Whiskey's dead? Like, we don't necessarily need to solve all
this. If you literally
this.
Just are going to do that, they drive off the bridge or something into the water. I mean, that could be the whole scene, but that's pretty short. Like, it'd be
no,
like,
it's not even driving off. It's they
no,
are.
No, because remember, in terms of what we're doing this week, the idea is that we're following their chase out of Saishin's mansion. They dive into the van. They quickly get the idea, wait a second, if we just hold out until Whiskey reincarnates us, maybe we'll wake up with all this gold in our pockets,
yeah,
right?
And it's Home Alone in the real world.
And then so you're intercutting that with Whiskey's zany farce, which we can get into a second, where he's trying to convince Miss Wonderful that they're all still alive, I guess, while this car chase is going on. And then, yes, they hit Whiskey with the car because they realize he's been killed. And then they all get surrounded. And yes, what I would do is they drive over the edge. And it is that fugitive moment. Like, in terms of like a chunk of script to tackle this week, I buy that. And again,
okay,
if
we settle on the idea that they are going to jump into an abyss, and we'll figure out what the actual
abyss is,
what
limbo,
the abyss is later,
or whatever it is.
I do want to say one other thing, which is that I love it in movies when all of a sudden the amount of time that the movie is taking place over just changes radically. You know, it's like you're watching a movie and you're like, okay, like most movies, it feels like they take place over the course of a week. If we were going to do, they go into limbo and then like, let's say they see flames on the horizon, like we can escape with the money through hell or whatever, right? Like you would do that, like they travel for like 10,000 years with each other as they're going through purgatory towards hell.
Like Inception.
Like Inception. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you're like, oh no, they
would definitely buy that limbo. It's just like a time diluted.
Exactly. Cause you would even say like this is kind of the saving grace they have, because it's like here the time is even slower than it is in heaven, so like, you know, in the real world Miss Wonderful is still like reaching ever so slowly to pull the plug on the first person in limbo or whatever. I don't know.
No, that's interesting.
And then I just like cutting
they
to
get
like
down to limbo and somebody's in limbo. It's like an old man and they're like, how long do people stay in limbo? And they're like, oh, usually an average of, you know, 5 or 6 seconds. And they all look at each other, they're like, but here, 5 or 6 seconds feels like 10,000 years. You know, it's like limbo is like metaphysically this kind of like space right before death where you have the time to rethink your entire life, essentially.
Doing this fade out and then fade in and it says 10,000 years later and they're all still in the van. Like it's just been the worst road trip of all time. And they're just so sick of each other and they've gone completely insane. Like would be hysterical to
That's
me.
Very good.
By the way, if you also want to get at Jin's desperation, like there is a world where like that sequence turns into like one by one people give up, right? Like they abandon this quest until it's just Jin and Tequila and then maybe just Jin with this pile of money all by himself. You know what I mean? And he's like trying to go towards salvation or whatever, or trying to go towards hell.
Oh, you're talking about in limbo.
In limbo. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. Because then you can get them mad in limbo if they start having a difference of opinions in terms of like giving up. And if Jin's the one who drives them off into limbo, then I can imagine, you know, 5,000 years later in limbo, they're like, why didn't you just stop the car like we all said? You know, I don't even care if we're in hell. At least it's somewhere. At least it's something that's happening. Like, what did you do, Jin? You know, sort of thing. Based off of what you guys said, just a simple logistic thing. You can't both do, they start stuffing their pockets and then they all jump off simultaneously. I think you need to kind of keep them in the van.
That's what I'm saying. They're in the van stuffing their pockets.
Yeah, getting ready to do it.
They ended the scene with them stuffing their junk.
Initially, their plan is they got to get away from the authorities. So you get all your money into the van. Yeah. And then when they're in the van and driving around, they get the idea to like, wait a second, Whiskey's going to pull us out in like 2 minutes. Let's just stuff our pockets full of cash. We'll get out of here with something. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's as they're driving around trying to hold out and not get caught until then. That's what they're doing. And then they hit Whiskey with the car and they realize like, oh shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want to tackle first? It feels like the two things to kind of figure out are once they hit Whiskey, what's this final moment and kind of like argument before like Jin drives off the fucking heaven pier.
I mean,
pier.
To me, that beat is just the cops are now closing in. They're about to get caught. They're like, I don't want to find out what happens if we get caught. And he's like, and by, you know, angels. And then Jin makes the executive decision to drive them all into the water or into a void or somewhere.
You see what I mean? That feels like a good moment to at least get some element of kind of conflict between the team. Even if it's just like a moment of like, are they
all just blaming him because
they all just okay with the idea of diving off into?
No, I don't think so. I think,
what are their options? They know if they get caught that they're going to get sent to hell, right? Like there's no way.
As far as Whiskey's concerned, he's like, I'm innocent. Right. Like Whiskey's probably the strongest holdout. He's like, I'm innocent. I got into heaven on my own merits. And
okay. If you're going to do that, what should happen is that Whiskey panics and jumps out of the car and pleads for mercy. And then you just see Whiskey gets sucked into hell and then they all see what happens if you freak out. Like they realize that if Whiskey, the guy who wasn't even really as bad as the rest of them, gets sent to like, you know, the hell of disembowelments or whatever to be tortured for 10 million years, they're like, oh shit, we gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I guess for me the strength of it, because it feels like you already kind of know, bear with me, if you're gonna do this like dive into the abyss, it does feel like the most interesting thing is an element of uncertainty. What's interesting to me is that Jin is not willing to let go of this score regardless.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
So like, again, it's the classic pull over. The cops are coming, right? That's like literally every cop criminal movie will have this where they're in the car and it's like, pull over, you know, we'll only get a couple years. And somebody's like, yeah, man, it'll be fine. And somebody's like, no, you don't understand. And they keep driving and they get killed, right? It feels like Whiskey would be like, guys, let's just pull over. Like, I feel pretty good about myself. I think they'll forgive us. And, you know, maybe Tequila's like, maybe they'll back or get reincarnated. Like it's fucking too late, man. You got to let go. Sometimes you got to know when call it quits. You know, it's like people have done time before and gotten out. And Jin being like, no. Because if Jin just dives in because the only other possibility is hell,
Then it's not really a choice. Yeah,
it's not really a choice. Yeah, yeah, it's not the fugitive moment.
It is the only other choice. I don't buy a world where they feel like they're going to like get off with a slap on the wrist. Like, I feel like the way the movie has been set up, like the stakes are pretty clear that, like, again, Jin was barely good enough to get into heaven the first time. Like, I don't know that you're going to buy that they're like, well, maybe it won't be that bad. Like, I feel like that is the stakes, right?
I know what you're saying. It's just a delicate balance. Right? In The Fugitive, it's like the movie wouldn't work if you thought that if he turned himself over, he wasn't going to get charged for his wife's murder, even though he's innocent. Like, the stakes are very clearly he has no choice but to jump. But like, there is the exit. Like, there is a difference between, you know, suicide or death and some possibility. People hang on to the minutest possibility forever. So even in this moment of final decision making, like, it's even more of a character thing where you see other people's resolve crack, right? Other people are not willing to push.
Here's what I would say with that. To me, why the fugitive moment works is you're right that it is like the risk of death by jumping off of this waterfall is very intense, right? So it is this test of his commitment to his quest, right? It's like, how bad do you want to prove you didn't kill your wife, right? So like, yes, you have an opportunity to give up and go back to jail, or you could almost certainly die but maybe survive by jumping off of this cliff, right? And maybe what you're kind of teasing out is the problem with just diving off the side of heaven is we don't know at all what that even means, right? It's not like we know that.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It would be one thing.
It's not
if
as stark as like, I get it, a waterfall. Oh boy, he might die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have that kind of like do or die kind of quality to it. So then like it just kind of becomes a decision that seems very practical mm-hmm. in the moment because you just don't know, like, oh, I'm trying to get away from the angels, because you definitely know what'll happen when the angels catch you, right? The angels are going to send you to hell.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of diving off into who knows what.
I mean, is this a plant where when they go into the water, let's say it's the water and this time mirroring the first scene, is it a plant that when they first go in?
No, you're right. You also set the idea that like they already have floated in this, so I don't know if they can just jump off the pier.
What do you mean floated? What are you talking about?
I'm saying like they get in the water from the ferry. That's their normal MO. Is this just need to be a setup where at some point they dunk their head under and they like pop out the other side and they're like, oh my god, there's a limbo realm down here. It's like, well, don't go too deep. You know, that's just the seed that you plant earlier.
To jump in on that, so for one, I always assumed this was like a floating city in the sky. I didn't think it was like actual water. Like the
No, I'm not describing it as water. I'm describing it as a layer they are floating on.
Yeah, they've been in that layer though. Like, remember they jump out of the boat. So
they When do they jump out of the boat?
How do they get on Whoopsie, my dude?
That's how they get on Whoopsie. They jump out of the boat and they grab on the pier and they grab onto the barge.
No. Okay, but hold on. To me, I always thought as imagine heaven is a floating sky city, right?
Correct.
And then we have this floating sky barge that comes up to the dock. It wasn't like they jump out of the boat and then swim over to the side. What we have written is they're like climbing along the edge of the dock and their feet are dangling over a yawning abyss. Like,
wait. As written, they come off of the ferry, they kind of are floating around, and then the barge comes and picks up, and then they grab onto the barge.
Okay, hold on. I'll read you the exact thing. So this is the line as it was written in the script in the episode. With the nearest angels distracted, Cognac, Gin, and Tequila duck out of the line, fall back over to the edge of the docks, and hop over the side. Clinging to the bottom side of the docks, feet dangling over an eternal abyss of endless sky, Gin, Tequila, and Cognac shimmy their way towards the colossal barge. You know, at one point, we even play the tension that he's going to plummet into empty sky because the barge slams into the dock, and Tequila's hands slip, and he falls, and they catch him and bring him back up. Mm. It's never been like that. This is just water.
When they're dangling over, what you plant is, oh, what is down there? There's people down there. It's like, it must be limbo or something. And then they just move, right? Like, that's where you would plant it.
I don't think you want to know exactly what it is. It's not literally the fugitive
moment.
You want
to know that there's something down there so that when they make the thing, it's still, right? It's still a blind leap into, like, we know there's something. It's not just, like, a total ridiculous, there's a chance of something, right? In the same way in The Fugitive, when he jumps, there's a chance he survives. They know there's something down there. There's a chance they get down there and the angels won't fall. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how does that not solve it?
That's the way to play it, is I think the difference between, and maybe this is the wrong thing to play, it's just I think you can definitely play it as the difference between Jin and everybody else in this moment. It's all a minor chance. Like, they're essentially caught, right? That's the fun of any of this high stuff, is that you are caught and anything you do is for the 1 in 100,000 chance. It doesn't have to be reasonable. It has to make sense emotionally. So it doesn't bother me at all that this is like uncertain. So to me, the thing I was trying to play is the difference in this moment when they are clearly caught is that Jin is willing to take the 1 in 1,000 chance to save the money. Everybody else wants to take the 1 in 1,000 chance to save their souls. And I think that if you want to do that, you can definitely do that. If that's not a thing to play, then that's not a thing to play. But everybody else being like, maybe there's a one in a million chance that if we turn ourselves in, something better than hell will be at the other end of this. And Jin is like, there's probably, again, we don't know what's on the other side. There's almost no chance they're going to get out of here with the money either. Like, Whiskey's dead. But Jin's like, I'd rather take the one in a million chance to get rich. And to me, that tells you about Jin in this moment.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to think if you can express that in this beat in a convincing way. That's all. It's tough. Like, I'm trying to picture tequila or brandy or cognac not thinking that they're going to go to hell or that there's a chance that they're going to get away with it. I guess you would just have to play it as a kind of desperation. I also don't know if I buy that they're less in than Jin is. Like, whiskey I could see cracking and giving up and maybe even tequila throwing the towel in, but I also don't know that it is in their character as we've described them this far to, like, be any less determined to pull this off than Jin is.
Yeah, so that's a different question. I think if we don't want that separation between the members, then you don't need it. I think in terms of expressing themselves, I think it is okay to express themselves in the same way that, again, how did you possibly think you're going to do a crime without getting caught by the cops? Like, of course you are. Like, that's the lesson.
Yeah, no, that's people get away with crimes.
No. Because obviously, even the fact that they are doing this, again, right? We brought this up in the very beginning. Like, you have to essentially think away the existential crisis of stealing heaven. They must understand that deep down, they're probably going to go to hell for doing this in the first place. So, like, even if they're rich, like, right, that's literally the existential crisis at the beginning of this whole thing. It was like, why would these people do this if they know that after they do this, they're just going to go to hell anyways?
I understand, like, because that. I think we're definitely starting to go around in circles, and I don't want to get us into a cul-de-sac here. I will just say the last thing I will say is that also, to me, kind of reinforces why I feel like most, if not all of them, would tilt towards what the hell do we have to lose, right? Because that was the same mentality that they had going in. Like we're all going to go to hell either way, so let's make some money while we can.
It's just what we want to tell story-wise emotionally with Jin. Like, he just have them all do it. It's just, you know, again, it can also be a revealing part about their characters. Well, how does the moment with his brother affect Jin?
Okay, that's a really good question. That's a very good question, one we haven't really gotten to yet. So we see that he sees that his brother has prayed for him. And it definitely, like, you want it to change him when he sees that, right?
Yes.
If anything, it kind of strikes me that it would feel more like Jin would be more likely to be the one to stop the van than it would be that he would, like, right? Like,
I mean, it would definitely be a change. Like, you'd understand that this has changed him somehow.
Yeah, because you're right. It is like, what does he feel about the fact that his brother did this, right? That he did his brother so dirty, right? And fucked him over so bad, and that his brother is still more concerned with his well-being and, you know, has clearly forgiven him, right?
Like, that would be an example of why, again, not exactly, but, like, kind of what I was getting at one point when it's, like, subtly, again, the better version of what Solo was trying to do is that subtly Tequila is not a good mentor, because you'd have this moment. The interesting moment would be, yes, Jin, because of what's happened to his brother as they're on this dock about to drive through. He's the driver, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, guys, you know, it's done. Like, there's a 1 in 100,000 chance or whatever it is. And then Tequila, the cool guy, would be like, why the fuck? Like, this is what I said. You weren't cut out to be a criminal. Don't get soft on me now.
I and, like, love that.
You know, and then, like, steps over his foot and presses the accelerator and then drives him into limbo. And then, yes, Jin's the one who's gone soft, which is exactly what Tequila said in the first thing, which is like, you know, maybe you're not cut out for this. And the lesson was like, the lesson that we all should have been like, Tequila's not cool. Tequila's telling him, like, you're not
a
criminal.
Yeah. Oh, I actually really like that. I think that's really interesting.
And it involves Jin, and obviously Jin's going to be in a different spot than everybody else. Now he's going to be kind of against the crew to some degree. I mean, he'll be, you know, we'll see how he recovers once they get there. But yes, then seeing that Jin was willing to give up for a second, maybe, I'm trying to think of what that, how that plays later. And if you want to have him already kind of give up on the money here, I don't know.
Okay, so yeah, what I really like about that, I think it's an interesting turn for Tequila. I can see kind of like how you would, it's tough because it does kind of just feel like, all right, so Jin's movie is over, right? Because it's like he learned the lesson and then he gets dicked over. So that gives me a little bit of pause, but I do like this idea that Tequila, you know, like, again, kind of seeing the flip side of it, he's like, I told you were too soft for this, and he, you know, he takes them over the edge. I wonder if there's then a world where, like, I mean, what would that do for Jin? Like, where does that put him as a character, right? Does he then jump out of the van? Does he turn himself into the authorities? Or he winds up in this limbo with them, and now he's trying to get out of limbo? Like, that to me is the tricky thing, is like, how do you make it not just like, all right, now, Jin's growth is done, and now I'm waiting for him, the rest of the movie to end.
Well, now he's stuck, and that, it's like, can he pivot to like, now he's just got to get out of hell and get back home? Again, this has always been like, Jin doesn't get fixed, or Jin doesn't make the right decision till like the last moment, and then he essentially is punished, and then he get this epilogue where he finds peace, you know, ultimately with, you know, being a tree in his brother's garden or whatever it is.
Yeah, but that doesn't work
if he essentially changes his mind here, more or less.
All right, well then essentially what you could do is he's still running, they're running, right? And then moment could be when he comes to in purgatory and he decides to get reincarnated instead of go on with the heist. I don't know. Keep going.
Could pair with me. It's all bonkers. I like, in terms of giving them a chance, like feeling that like they have a chance to get out of here without the money.
Mm-hmm.
Could you make, because his brother is like a saint, could you make the prayer that he did actually mean something? Meaning like, again, you have the angel cops, guns pointed at them, like, turn yourself aside or whatever. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, we're not going to hell. And then it's like,
Oh, that's interesting.
Literally, the prayer of his brother is, again, his brother is beloved, and the prayer is good enough that it's like, Taishen's like, you know, whether or not you go to hell is up to you guys. You know, turn yourselves in and we'll forgive you and send you back.
Yeah.
Except for whiskey, obviously. But it's like, yes, they don't know. We know, like, yes, Miss Wonderful will probably kill them or whatever. But, you know, they've talked their way out of this stuff before.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are they going to do? And then I could see Jin rejecting that and being angry at his brother, you know, even if he's just not dealt with it yet, and being like, of course this fucking happened. Like, again, right, it just proves his brother is right. It's like, of course, like, my brother couldn't fucking beg for money, and now I'm stuck here, and then his stupid prayer is the thing that's going to get me out of here. Like, no, I'm still going to do this on my own. I can still make this happen.
That's really interesting. Okay, yes. I love the idea that, yes, you do, they get surrounded, and it is like the heaven authorities are about to just fuck them up, right? And like drag their asses to hell. And then Sai Shen stops them. And Sai Shen is like, I heard your brother's prayer, and I'm going to honor his wish because he's a noble man, and I'm going to give you a second chance if you've got the guts to take it, right? You know, then Jin is at the wheel, right? And he's in charge of the situation.
Yes.
And he's like, I'll give you a second chance at life. With the snap of my fingers, I can bring you back. And they're like, bring us back to what? Miss Wonderful's just going to fucking kill us and we'll die and then we'll just go, we'll be right back here or something like that, you know? Then yes, you would do that. Jin makes this choice to, ooh, that's interesting. That's really interesting.
You even have the other people being like, drive, and you're wondering if Jin's going to do it because they're all saying the same thing. But you could be like, Taishen's kind of digging the knife. It's like, because again, he'd be like, your brother just wants to see you again. Like, you know, your brother loves you. Go back to him or whatever. Like, go back to your family. Like, this is a second chance. Most people don't get this.
Oh, this is very good. This is very good. Because this reminds me of, like, so I'm reading Musashi right now, which is like kind of Japan's, Japan's Gone with the Wind is what it's called. But it's like a samurai novel about Miyamoto Musashi. And there's this great scene where he has this friend, Madahachi, who's like a real piece of shit and is like, you know, fucking up constantly. He's just this idiot. But there's a scene where, like, he's gotten in trouble so bad and he's about to get executed, right? And then the monk character Takuan kind of like gives him spiritual guidance before his death, and it's basically the stakes are like facing your own death. Can you kind of like at least face it as an enlightened human being? It's too late to, like, you know, fix the shitty life you led, but can you face death, you know, with a clean heart and you know, like, you know, and even in the seconds before you die, like, try to live like a real life.
Yeah, even if it's just 2 seconds of a real life.
Yeah, so I even like that idea that is the stakes here, essentially, right? Like, what he's offering is, I'm like, I can send you back to Earth with a clean bill of health, right? And if you can face death, you know, like a real human being, like, maybe you'll have a shot at going on to something better in your next life, right? But, like, you're going to be facing death, like, for real, for real.
Yes.
And then everyone in the crew's like, no, like, I don't have the guts to do that, forget it. Like, let's just, we can beat this thing if we jump over the edge, like, you know, or whatever, right?
Oh, okay, what's really good about that is, by the way, also to give, if you want to subvert it and just give it a little bit of humor too, they're all like, does that include all of us? He's like, yeah, we'll send you all back. And the whiskey's like, even me? He's like, oh, no, you're dead. But you know what? At the end, you know, we're going to let you in here. And then when Jin drives off, Whiskey's like, no! And Whiskey's like trying to dive out. And then Whiskey actually having like some like chutzpah and be like, you motherfuckers, like I was going to be in heaven and you guys drove me off into this thing. Because he obviously got shot in the head. He's not coming back.
He had a heart attack, right? That was what we were saying. Attack
or whatever he ends up doing. But I like that, you know, he was always just like a good hearted dude who was just trying to help his friends out and his heart was always in the right place. Like, he was just trying to go to medical school. Like,
yeah, he's trying to pay his way through college, baby. That's
Jin is so dark to just fucking drag Whiskey.
I'm 50-50 on that. Because I was also going to say, the way you could hedge it with Whiskey, if you want him to be in the same boat as everyone else, what you do is in this moment, back on Earth, he is still dying of a heart attack back on Earth. And he's there in that kind of liminal way Jim was before he got revived, right? So Sai Shen can snap them all back, but then they're all going to die because Ms. Wonderful is going to kill them.
It's dark, but it's definitely within this world of kind of fantasy that we're playing around with, and like it feels like it diminishes Whiskey dying if it's like, oh, he's still like in a coma.
I don't buy that they're just gonna let Whiskey into heaven. For one,
bear with me, Jin was gonna go to heaven. I mean, Whiskey's a pretty clean, nice dude. I mean, yes, he's obviously doing crimes, but like, are you suggesting that like just robbing and stuff is like again, he was gonna barely make it into heaven just for saving an old lady?
I
at the end of the day, I don't see the decision to throw him into heaven. It's not just like the sum total of all of his deeds threw him there. It's part of it. But I think part of it is also just he is the person who was willing to throw away this to save a life. And that's the quality of the character to some extent, too. Right. I think it can be a little more nebulous than just like 10 good deeds on one side, 8 good bad deeds on the other, you know?
I question what you get out of complicating the whole thing by adding this extra element to Whiskey, and I feel like we already had Jin's super dark turn when he burns down his brother's hospital. Like, I don't know if I need another moment of like, wow, Jin's super fucked up. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if you necessarily do. Whiskey might even be like, I'm ride or die with you guys or whatever. I don't know. To me, it doesn't overcomplicate it. It's just like a fun moment to play. And I definitely don't like the idea of setting up that like Whiskey dies and then they go like, oh, and I'm going to bring you back to Whiskey. You know, you're almost dying from a heart attack.
Sure, sure, sure. Fair enough. Here's what I could see.
That's complicated.
One of my favorite jokes in Futurama is when there's like the super evil robot Santa who went crazy and thinks everyone is naughty and tries to destroy them every Christmas. And then he gangs up on the entire Planet Express crew and he's about to kill all of them. And he's like, you've all been very, 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 very naughty this year. Except for you, Dr. Zoidberg. You get a pogo stick, and then Dr. Zoidberg's just off the hook for no fucking reason. So I could see doing that. Sai Shen's like, you're all in a lot of trouble. Except for you, Whiskey. Like, hey, you're actually going to get into heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but hold on. What I would say is, what if he puts it to them as a group? He's like, your karmic fates are all tied to each other. You all decide as a group what happens. And then what you would do is two people vote to just turn themselves in and face death. Two people vote to just take a risk on fucking driving over the edge. And then Jin is the one who has to make the call because he's the tie vote. And then actually what I would do is that Whiskey votes to risk it because Whiskey's like, I'm ride or die with you guys because he's a good person. He's loyal to his friends, right? Like, that's the irony of it. With Whiskey.
I like that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And then like, I like the way that builds it up to Jin at the wheel and it's like, it's his decision and it's like, what's he gonna do?
In which case, I would have Tequila be like, let's turn ourselves in.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying
to
think.
Yeah, I mean, we're not doing that turn. Then he is, we've had him, which is a soft mentor. Also, I don't want to be like, the three guys are like, let's ride or die. The two girls are like, let's turn ourselves in.
Yeah, I like that. I would do the two most surprising people. I like one person being surprising on each side. So I feel like Brandy being like, let's turn ourselves in. It was like, turn you won't expect.
Oh, I like that.
So yeah, I would say Tequila and Brandy want to turn themselves in. Whiskey and Cognac are like, fuck that. Like, let's go. And then Jin, panics, right?
Yes, and I would do Tequila's been in this life of crime long enough that it's like he's probably been behind bars, right? He's gotten out of prison before. It's like sometimes you gotta know when to cut your losses to fight another day.
You gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Yes, exactly.
R.I.P.
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 Okay. Well, yeah. So I like that. I like that they're given this choice by Tai Shen and the cops, and then they vote, and then Jin has the final decision. He just drives off into the abyss, whatever that's gonna lead them to. He's definitely saying no to the deal for certain, which is good. Okay, so what happens with Whiskey and Miss Wonderful on Earth?
Okay, so it feels like... what's
that little bit?
To get into it, right? Here's what I would do. So to get into it, yes, we start with this madcap dash of them running through the hallways with the money. They get into the car. They're speeding off. Heaven authorities are chasing after them. And then, yes, you have this little mini scene where they're panicking in the car. And they're like, wait, Whiskey can save us. We cut to Whiskey. Whiskey is about to revive them, right? And then he hears Miss Wonderful.
The door busts open.
The door busts open. Like, and then I'm like, do you really need this whole scene? Because it just feels like she would kill him, right? Like the, but I really want to do it.
Or he just has a heart attack right then and there. And she's like, I'll save the bullet. This kid's flat. Line.
So he has to see them coming, right? Like he has to realize, because yes, and we've established that they are coming towards him. They've more or less seen what's going on.
The idea that they're like, all we got to do is hold out for Whiskey to bring us back.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like the fun is when you cut to Whiskey, it is he is trying to bring them back, but he can't because of Miss Wonderful.
Yes,
like
exactly.
That, like that feels like the complication.
Yes, yeah, so then I'm trying to think of how you set that up though, right? So he's going and then like, I, like the first thing that happened that leapt into my head is just Baby, the parakeet, returns and just like lands on his shoulder and warns him by being like, oh, God, and like pointing to the window, and he sees Miss Wonderful and her goons coming, and he's like, uh-oh, and then you cut to like, they peer up to the window and like, it's like the Jingle Bell Rock scene or whatever.
Oh, yes. Okay, what's good with that is that yes, he actually tries to get in, but he locks the door and she's trying to act nice, and then you see behind her is like a bunch of guys with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Her thing is essentially she's like, I made more money than you guys owed me off this ketamine bust or whatever. I'm just angry.
I love that the plot just the whole Miss Wonderful plot has already resolved itself off screen.
Oh yeah, she's God. Just like, I just want to kill you guys. Like, you guys have been paying me my ass. It's just, you know, sometimes you got to be made an example of. There's no way to talk yourself out of this. And they're just shooting the door up, and Whiskey is just like, you know, desperately moving the cots, like, behind cover, and he's trying to get the medicine to pop them up and wake them up and stuff, but, you know, he's getting shot at.
Oh, so you're not saying to do the zany Home Alone ruse where he's trying to convince them weekend at Bernie style that everybody's fine.
Oh, I mean, I forgot about that. No, this would be a different version of that.
I just like that just because, one, you can cut to Heaven and be like, why am I arms moving around right now? Like, what's going on? And then two, yeah, there's a temporal link between your physical soul and your immortal soul. But then two, she, remember, you've established at the beginning that they've already seen him putting everyone under. So she's not fooled by this at all.
Which would also lead to he tries it for a second, but then they start shooting at him.
That's true.
I guess I'm good either way.
I feel like if we solve this, I basically know the whole thing we're writing. So
it does feel like the most, I mean, it just, I know the heart attack, it just does feel like the most shocking thing is to like have Whiskey turn around and you see a gun pointed at his head, and then you cut back to Heaven, and then he shows up. And you're like, he got shot in the head. Like, feels like if you want to do Whiskey shows to the point where, like, you're right, if he dies from a heart attack or something and then you see him there, you're like, oh, like, is he dead? Or is he like, did he like fall into a coma or something? If you're gonna do that, somebody dies, it feels like you want them to die.
What? Okay.
I do like the silhouettes of them talking and stuff, though.
I mean, it's that's so, what I'm saying. It's,
I
so
feel
good.
Like,
yes, let's get both.
I feel like Indiana Jones reaching for the Holy Grail right now. I'm like, it's so, okay, all right.
It's not gonna stay in the, look, it's not gonna stay in the final draft. There's no way. But it needs to happen right now.
How
it needs to, be that he attaches their feet and arms to the gurneys and makes a complex marionette show and is sitting there and doing this. And then you cut to Miss Wonderful and them, and they're like, are you sure you saw them putting them down? Because they definitely look alive and awake right now. And then you just see the silhouette show in the window of them all like, oh, Whiskey. Oh, you're so smart and you're so good. It's like, oh, thanks, Jen. Here, have another drink. Ha ha ha. She's just looking at them.
And then they just bust in and shoot them in the head.
Yeah, I actually feel like you have this whole thing. And then the back door opens. And like somebody just came around the back is watching Whiskey do this.
If you were gonna do that, what I would do is like he's literally about to revive Jin, and then the parakeet flies through the skylight and lands on his shoulder and goes cry, and like he realizes that Ms. Wonderful and her goons are outside. He sees them on the security camera walking up.
Yes.
Right, he's like uh-oh, right? And then you do,
oh, he tapes guns to their arms, by the way, so the silhouettes, they're like, I don't know, Ms. Wonderful, they look pretty locked and loaded, you sure we want a big gun fight right now, and they all have like AKs like taped to their arms, and they're like, ooh.
It's just cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, it's just cardboard cutouts. Yes, that's actually even better.
Oh, so yeah, so you do essentially what he sees on the security camera is Miss Wonderful and her guys tooling up with guns, right? And it's like, yes. Oh shit, right? And he's like, oh, what do I do? And then you cut to Miss Wonderful and her guys being like, all right, we storm the place, we blow their brains out, you know, easy as pie. Like, boss, are you sure that that's okay? And then it's like, what on earth? And then, yeah, you cut to the window. It's like, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle. And it's just like all of their bodies on elaborate pulleys and stuff like that. And then she's like, And then you just do.
If this was Austin Powers, by the way, it would definitely be like they're loaded. Like they're each holding two AK-47s. And then Whiskey's putting on like a gin voice. And he's like, you said 24 hours. Just give us 24 hours. Otherwise, we're gonna shoot your butts off. And then like you cut back to the silhouette. And then it's like from the right side of the window. Like, wait, is that a? And like a tank silhouette comes out. And like, they have a tank. They have a tank in there, Miss Wonderful.
Like, okay. Because what I was going to suggest is that they don't. Hear me out. Because I think you could play the beat that, like, we see they get all the fun of Whiskey doing this, but then they don't fall for it for a second. Yeah. See, here's what I would say is you do it's like one of these. You do that. It's like they're all tooling up. He's like, Miss Wonderful, take a look at this. And then he shows her, right? And it's like you see the zany marionette show or whatever. And she goes, like, And then you cut to, like, Whiskey frantically doing this. And then there's, like, a ring at the doorbell, right? And he's like, oh, shit. He's acting out whatever dumb party conversation's going on. I was like, oh, hey, I think that's Miss Wonderful. Go get the door, Whiskey. He's like, yeah, I'll get it. And then he goes up to the door and opens it. He's like, oh, hey, Miss Wonderful, we're just having it. And she just shoots him in the head. And yes, just cut yes, to oh, heaven.
Yeah,
then you just cut with him into heaven. And then he looks up and gets hit by the van.
Yes, I like that. I like that he just gets shot very quickly. Like, it's like, this does not work.
Okay.
And they're like, are they really making this stupid? And then it's like, oh, but Ms. Wonderful did not
no,
fall for
she
it.
She did not fall for it at all, and he's dead.
Yeah. I buy it.
I think that's fun.
I'm purchasing this scene.
Dang.
Is that it then?
That's it for this one.
Yeah, so then, yeah, they probably pull him into the van, and then they get surrounded. And then,
they're
you
on
have
the... Yeah, they're at the harbor or whatever, and with nowhere to go but the pier.
And then, and then you have that.
Tai Shin on a megaphone.
He offers his deal. And then Whiskey, the kindest soul of all time, is like, oh, no, I'll risk eternal damnation because I don't want you guys to go to hell. You've always been real nice to me.
It's important that the angels are also like 20 feet tall, like Tai Shin. And Tai Shin needs to like push through them and be like, give me that microphone. Give me that megaphone. And he needs to look exactly like a police chief now. He's like, give me the megaphone. And he grabs the megaphone. He's like, hey. Whiskey. He needs to negotiate with them dressed up as a police chief.
That's very good. And then this giant panther he sits on has like sirens on it.
Oh shit. they are definitely getting chased by a panther.
By the way, sirens. I have our ending for because everyone's gonna eventually get reincarnated, right? And like Jin's a tree. You definitely do. Whiskey's ending is that he's a parrot and he lives happily ever after with Baby, the parrot that he was he had as a pet, right? Like you see Baby in the tree, and then we see like a little Whiskey parrot fly up next to it and they like nuzzle each other.
That makes sense as like a little baby, but I was gonna think it's like, wait, what? It's like Whiskey becomes like a full grown bird, and then he looks at Baby, he's like, wah, wah, and like winks his eyebrow, and they're like, wait a second, are they fucking now?
The movie ends on a big heart shape closing over the two parrots fucking.
Yep. Hey man, it worked for a Twilight. If you can do that, I'm gonna fall in love with this baby as a werewolf. You can definitely do.
And nobody seemed to have a huge issue with that. Then fuck it, Twilight, it works for this movie.
No, yeah, because you're right. Because I kind of just pictured he's just a parrot, but you're right. It's weird that he's now fucking his own pet, I guess.
Whiskey's like, yeah.
No, doing that, Baby has babies now. Like his, and then one of those little baby chicks is clearly Whiskey, is very cute and like a nice little.
You
happy
do
Whiskey
has
Whiskey.
Like the way you show that is Whiskey has like a Harry Potter type scar on his forehead, and then the little parrot has like the same feathers. You're like, oh, that's Whiskey. It's very stupid.
I love it. Okay, I think that's a scene. I mean, that's another assload of writing I got to do, but that's going to be really good. I like that.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Will's going to take a longer break. And when we come back, the scene.
Hi, I'm Dave Hill from before. And I'm very excited to bring Dave Hill's podcasting incident back to Maximum Fun, where it belongs. You can get brand new episodes every Friday on MaximumFun.org or, you know, wherever. And while my partner Chris Gersbeck and I might lack in specific subject matter on our podcast, we make up for in special effects. Chris, add something cool right here. Also, we have explosions, animal noises, and sometimes even this. Dave Hill's podcasting incident, every Friday on Maximum Fun. Chris, do another explosion right here.
Footsteps pound down the hallway and the door bursts open. A phalanx of angel guards storms in and stops in their tracks, aghast at the spectacle in front of them. The crew exchanges panicked looks.
Run!
They grab as much loot as they can carry, throw it onto the food carts, and ram a path through the guards and out into the hall. Interior, Saishin's mansion, hallway, day. Hot jazz music plays as the crew careens down the halls of Saishin's mansion, loose gold pieces spilling off their carts. The guards chase after them, hot on their trail. The doors to the garden swing open and Saishin, along with a crowd of gods and revelers, pours in. Saishin's brow furrows in furious anger as he sees our crew running for their lives.
Thieves!
He smacks his giant black tiger on the butt and it races off after the crew, bounding down the hallway in giant, terrifying leaps. Exterior, Saishin's mansion, day. The crew blasts out the back door of the mansion. Tequila runs ahead and opens up the delivery van. The rest of the crew rams the carts inside and scrambles in themselves. Jin hops into the driver's seat and searches frantically for the keys.
Keys! Keys!
Tequila pats his pockets, then remembers they're behind the sun visor. He opens it, but the keys drop down into that awful little crack between the driver's seat and the center console. Jin rams his hand into the crack. Am I right, guys? What's the deal with that thing?
What's the deal with the thing?
What's the deal with the crack? Jin rams his hand into the crack and gropes around for the keys.
Yeah, he does.
Behind them, the back wall explodes as Saishin's tiger blasts out of it. Everyone turns back to look and screams. Jin finds the keys, jams them in the ignition, and stomps on the gas, peeling out just as the tiger makes a vicious swipe at the back of the van. Exterior, Heaven City streets, day. A gonzo's celestial car chase ensues as the van hurtles through the streets of Heaven City, with a giant black tiger and a horde of flying angel cops hounding them at every turn. Jin steers the unwieldy van with reckless abandon, weaving through traffic, scraping through alleys, and smashing through pretty much every food cart, street vendor stall, and giant pane of glass being held by two construction workers walking across the street in sight. Yet for all his skill, the forces of heaven are unshakable. More and more angels join the chase. And who's that clinging to the fur of the giant tiger riding along like Princess Mononoke? Oh shit, it's the traffic lady! She leaps from the tiger and lands on top of the van. She crawls up to the windshield and starts punching the glass. Interior van, day. It's all out pandemonium in the van. Tequila, riding shotgun, sticks his body out the window and tries to shoot the traffic lady. She snatches his gun and pistol whips him across the face. He ducks back inside, rubbing his bruised noggin. In the back, Brandy swings her giant nunchucks out the cargo door to keep the tiger at bay. She calls up to the front.
We can't hold them off much longer. Are you sewing?
She gawks at Cognac, sewing up a storm as she attaches a huge bolt of cloth to her pant legs.
Pockets, big pockets. We're gonna need them.
For what?
Tequila's eyes sparkle with hope as he realizes what she's up to. When Whiskey pulls us out, we'll have the loot in our pockets.
We can't fit all this in our pants.
Cognac grabs Brandy by the collar and shouts some sense into her.
We either get out of here with something or we go to hell with nothing. Which is it gonna be?
Brandy nods. She slams the cargo doors shut and flops onto her back in front of Cognac.
Stitch me up, Doc!
With needle and thread in hand, Cognac gets to work sewing a huge pocket onto Brandy's pants.
How much time until our evac?
Tequila checks his watch. 2 minutes, Heavenside. Jin whispers as he throws the van around a corner.
Come on, Whiskey.
Interior, safe house, night. Meanwhile, back on Earth, Whiskey reclines in a chair playing Animal Crossing on his Nintendo Switch. A faint tapping noise comes from the window. Whiskey ignores it. The tapping repeats, louder this time. Whiskey, irritated, turns up the volume on his Switch. The window shatters. Whiskey spins around and sees Bambi the macaw flying through the air straight at him.
Wait, Bambi?
Bambi flutters over to him and lands on his Switch.
Oh my gosh, you're alive. Ow!
He goes to hug his bird and it bites him right on the nose.
Ah, stupid mean-ass bird.
Danger! Danger!
Huh?
Bambi flies over to a security monitor on the other side of the safe house.
Danger!
Whiskey, clutching his bleeding nose, walks over to the monitor and gasps at what he sees. On the monitor, a security feed shows Miss Wonderful and her goons stalking through the safe house parking lot, guns raised. Fear shoots through Whiskey's eyes.
Mamma mia! We're in a tight spot this time, Bambi, old
bu- Danger!
Bambi flies away through the window and off into the night, abandoning Whiskey to his fate.
Aw, jeepers.
He looks at the monitor. Miss Wonderful and her hunks crouch behind a van, readying an assault. He looks to his comatose comrades on their stretchers. Then his eyes fall on an old poster of Home Alone hanging in a corner, a bundle of rope lying underneath. Whiskey smirks and bounces his eyebrows craftily.
Who has an old poster of Home Alone?
You know, like you do in your safe house. Exterior, safe house, night. Miss Wonderful and her goons have their backs pinned to a van in the parking lot. She briefs them on the plan.
We advance in 2x2 formation, straight for the door.
One of her hunky goons, spying on the safe house with binoculars, turns to her.
Boss... You're gonna want to see this.
Confused, she peeks her head around the corner and her jaw drops. POV, Miss Wonderful. She sees the shadowy silhouettes of the crew obscured by a curtain in the window, twitching jerkily and swaying from side to side. Jingle Bell Rock emanates from within.
Oh, looks like they're having some kind of Christmas party.
The illusion is painfully inept. Clearly visible ropes hold the bodies aloft in the window. At one point, the ropes break and one of the shadowy profiles crumples to the ground. Whiskey's shadow hurries over and clumsily helps the body back up to its feet and reties the ropes.
Oh, looks like you had too much to drink, buddy. Here, let me help you.
Miss Wonderful puts a hand to her temple and lets out a weary sigh. Interior safe house, night. Jingle Bell Rock blares on a record player. Whiskey sweats bullets as he manipulates an elaborate series of ropes and pulleys attached to the unconscious bodies of his friends. The comatose bodies of gin, cognac, and brandy all hang from ropes throughout the room and bounce jerkily as Whiskey tugs at the pulleys. Tequila sits duct-taped to an office chair. Whiskey reaches a foot out and kicks the chair across the room. As it rolls, Tequila slumps over and the chair crashes to the ground. Whiskey winces. Knock, knock, knock.
Open up in there. The boss wants a word.
Whiskey's eyes bulge in sheer terror.
Una segundo.
He takes his bundles of rope and ties them to a nearby desk. The weight makes it slowly drag across the floor. Throughout the room, the bodies slump towards the ground. Whiskey gives a resigned shrug and hurries towards the door. Trying to sound as casual as possible, he cracks it open with a smile.
Oh, hey, gang. We're actually super busy right now. Can you come back and, like...
Miss Wonderful stands right on the other side and shoves a pistol up to Whiskey's nose. She cocks it. He gulps. We cut to... Exterior, Heaven City, Port, Day. Boom! The gates to the port blast open as the van crashes through them. TS Angels and Souls Awaiting Judgment scramble out of their way as the van rushes past them, the Tiger hot on their trail. Intercut, interior van, Day. Inside, the crew, wearing makeshift pockets brimming with gold, watch grimly out the windows. Angels swarm in from all sides. Tequila checks his clock. 20 seconds! A phalanx of angels cuts off Jin's route along the port to the left. He U-turns and sees more angels cutting him off to the right. The Tiger nips at their heels. Boxed in, their only open route takes them straight for the docks and the vast ocean of sky beyond. Jin steals his nerves and guns the engine. The clock ticks down. He grips the wheel tight. The crew braces in their seats, holding back terror. The van bounds up the docks, past ferry boats unloading their passengers. Jin honks the horn and a crowd of newly arrived souls scurries out of his way, revealing one dumbstruck person still in the middle of his path. Jin gawks. It's Whiskey. The van crashes into him. Jin slams on the brakes and they screech to a halt.
What was that?
No, it can't be.
Wham! Whiskey pops up in the window and pounds on the glass. The crew screams in terror.
Let me in!
Cognac opens the side door and they yank Whiskey into the van. He gasps for breath. What the hell are you doing here?
Miss Wonderful, she and her guys busted in. I tried to explain what we were doing. They shot me.
So what does that mean for us?
It means you're dead.
They look up. Sai Shen, now wearing a police uniform, steps out from behind the line of angels surrounding the van.
Or at least, you very soon will be.
He snaps his fingers and an image portal shimmers to life next to him. Through it, we see Miss Wonderful and her goons walking through the safe house in super slow motion, their guns drawn. Whiskey hangs in midair, a spray of blood erupting from his chest as a bullet strikes him. Despair fills the faces of our crew as Sai Shen steps up to the van.
In mere moments, your compatriot in crime shall end your life and your souls will be judged.
He glares down at them with contempt.
You have committed the vile crime of theft. You have violated, humiliated, the sacred laws of life and death. Worst of all, you have sullied heaven itself with your treacherous ways. I have a feeling you will be judged harshly.
The words chill them to their very bones. Jin gives a stoic frown. Brandy breaks out sweating. Cognac pours herself a drink. Whiskey gulps, pale as a sheet. Tequila shuts his eyes in resignation. A wry smile curls on Sai Shen's lips.
Yet, let it not be said that Sai Shen is without mercy. For though you, Kyle, may rank among the lowest forms of slime in the cosmos, you do have... quite a brother.
He snaps his fingers again and we see Freddy praying in the image portal.
I have heard his plea for your soul and I was moved. And for his sake, not for yours, I'm inclined to grant you and your friends a miracle.
The crew look up at each other with hopeful glances.
I will send you back to Earth, and though you will certainly die at the hands of your enemies, you can use your last precious moments of life to attempt to atone for all wrong you have done.
A beat. Brandy unrolls the window.
Question, if we do that, will we still go to hell?
Alas, I do not decide such things. But yes, almost certainly. Oh, except for you, Whiskey. You're a vegan, so you get in here for free.
All right.
He looks at his furious comrades.
I mean, darn. I guess.
Jin, mind-racing, stares at the wall of angels behind them, then looks at the empty dock that stretches out before them and drops off into the bottomless sky.
The choice is yours. Face your karma, receive due punishment, and be reborn anew. Or take your chance in the boundless liminal wasteland beyond the docks.
Jin furrows his brow. Tense silence fills the van.
Anyway, talk it over, and let me know if you have any questions.
Back in the van, Tequila lets out a resigned, weary sigh. We're caught, man. I've been around the block enough times to know when to call it quits. Let's take our lumps and try again in the next life. Brandy pounds her fists and snarls.
Hell, don't scare me. I can take whatever those demons can dish out. Maybe I'll come back as someone even tougher, like that's even possible. I say we take the deal.
Cognac scoffs, incredulous.
Screw that. I live by one simple rule. Never give up on the score. I'll be damned if I'm gonna change my ways now. I say we jump. Me too!
The rest of the gang turns to Whiskey in surprise.
Huh?
What?
You're already into heaven, dummy! A maudlin Whiskey gives a teary smile to Cognac.
How can they call it heaven if it takes you away from the treasure of your heart? I love you, Cognac. If you jump, I jump.
Okay, but only as friends, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's what I meant.
Whiskey turns beet red and looks away in shame. Tequila glances to Jin. 2-4, 2-against. You're the tiebreaker, Jin. What's the play? Jin looks at the giant pile of gold in his back seat, then to the nervous, expectant faces of his crew. Finally, he looks at the shimmering image of his praying brother. Jin pops out a cigarette and puts it between his lips. He revs the engine. Tequila shuts his eyes in disappointment. Brandy pouts. Cognac grins. Whiskey, still heartbroken, puts on a brave face.
Anyone wants out? Now's the time.
I may be an old man, but I never abandoned my crew.
Me neither.
Oh, me neither.
Let's ride.
Jin stomps the gas. The van roars across the dock, smashes through a guardrail, and plummets into a boundless ocean of sky.
Fuck you, Taishan!
Boy, what are we going to do next time?
I don't know. We may have just driven the script itself off of a cliff, so...
Well, that's the end of season one of the Netflix show that is Heaven Heist, so we'll do season two. Another time.
That's the end of the movie, guys. Just a freeze frame roll credits.
Well, I mean, they say in Hollywood, once you get to page 120, the movie's over wherever you are. So
that's true. That's how it works.
That's how it works. It's done.
A fun one this week. Finally got the payoff on the whiskey crush.
Yeah, no, I think it's getting there. So we got a very lovely piece of fan art this week from Sammo on Twitter, who does a very cute...
Sammo Hung?
No, not Sammo Hung.
Sammo Hung?
I don't think it was Sammo Hung, just someone named Sammo.
Could be. Could be.
And Sammo gave us a wonderful drawing of Jin's grandma making dumplings. So thank you very much to Sammo.
Dang it, Sammo. You're going to make me hungry.
Sammo Hung would be a perfect tequila or a Taishan. Either one.
Or both.
Yeah.
So Sammo Hung, thanks for listening and watching, or listening, I guess. Thanks for the fan art. If you want to be part of the movie, just hit up our agents.
Also, Sammo Hung, if you want a video version of Story Break so you can watch while you listen, we will film one just for you. And Jackie Chan, if you want to share with him. You can find that fan art and tons of other great fan art on our Twitter page, twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. And you can hit us up on Facebook if you're a Facebook person at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. We're part of the Maximum Fun Network. Usually this is where Freddie jumps in. Freddie, why don't you take us out?
MaximumFun.org for all your great podcast needs. Check it out. Also, follow Jesse Thorne, the founder. He's been doing some really cool stuff on his Twitter with regards to, like, you know, supporting Meals on Wheels and charity stuff. It's just a good Twitter to follow. So go to MaximumFun.org. Follow Jesse Thorne on Twitter. He's a cool dude. And
he's a cool guy.
Cool guy alert.
Cool guy.
Chad Ellis edits this podcast. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold. And if you're playing Animal Crossing, trees, money trees, they max out at 30,000. So don't plant $99,000 into the ground. That's it.
Sound investment strategies.
Fucking bullshit.
Friendly Fire is a podcast about war movies, but it's so much more than that.
It's history.
It was just supposed to be another assignment.
It's comedy.
Under no circumstances are you to engage the enemy.
It's cinema studies.
It's a hell of a combination.
So subscribe and download Friendly Fire on your podcatcher of choice.
Or at MaximumFun.org.
Accomplished.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.